This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can watch us on ESPN2. Listen to us on all the great ESPN stations across the country, the ESPN app.
That's when Cash Money was rolling, Smalls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Channel 80.
Stunned like my daddy.
Stunned like my daddy.
Birdman. He used my headphones once.
What do you mean he used your headphones?
Birdman. He came to ESPN. He did a car wash. He didn't have headphones. I was a producer at the time, so I let him use my headphones.
Hopefully that went a lot better than his appearance on The Breakfast Club.
I don't know what that was about.
I know there was some smoke in that studio, though.
Yeah. Oh.
So hopefully it was a lot more chill when Birdman came through
cool.
your studio.
It was cool. Okay. He was wearing like a great scarf. It was awesome.
Oh, he always had the Gucci scarves on, right?
Oh, didn't this one was Alexander McQueen, the skulls.
You know, wow, that's next level.
Oh, yeah.
The McQueen, next level. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My bad.
But yeah,
on me.
Birdman and I share headphones. No big
deal. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. You can catch all the postseason action on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, as you did last night, of course. With the Rangers advancing, they're just destroying everybody. They won last night 7-1 over Baltimore. They sweep the Orioles 3 games. If you're watching on the TV side, you see a little mason jar or whatever it's called in the middle of our table here. CC has got his hands on it, and you see a dollar bill in there. We have started a bad take jar to which Smalls has donated $1 because she had the Orioles going to the World Series. They were already eliminated last night. The Astros win 9-1 over Minnesota. And the Astros are now 1 game away from the ALCS, 7th straight year in the ALCS, which has Chris Canty and others annoyed because of the fact. Smalls annoyed as well because of all the cheating allegations and confirmations with the Astros over the course of time, that there is this once a cheater, always a cheater approach in sports, that we look at people and say, okay, well, if you kind of did this, we still have that question about you. No?
No, I just hate that you refer to them as allegations when it's on the record that they actually cheated.
No, I change it to confirmation.
We know exactly what they did.
Yeah, exactly. It's
exactly.
Not allegations.
We know about the watches. We know about the trash cans. We know about the cameras. We know about it all. We've mentioned it all, okay?
Yeah, I'm salty. Listen, I'm a Yankees fan. I'm salty. I have a right to be upset about it. Right? This team is awful. I'm not blaming the Astros on how bad the Yankees have been the last 3 years, but as a Yankees fan, I could have more vitriol toward the Astros because our last best chances of getting back to the World Series in 2017 and 2019, you were the team that ousted us. So yeah, I'm a little bit bitter, and maybe this is a little bit of a rant, and maybe nobody wants to hear it out there. I'm a little sour, I'm a little salty, but I feel like it's my right to because they admittedly cheated in those seasons. Now, everybody else cheats to some degree, and they did it better, but I think they also took it to a level that nobody else was cheating at.
Okay, but just follow up on that.
Just saying.
Do you let it go when you're looking at a team / an athlete relative to cheating, either allegations or confirmations? For example, Andy Pettitte, for you, and the Astros for that matter, big-time pitcher.
Yeah.
Andy Pettitte owned the fact that he used PEDs.
Okay? Yeah.
Did you ever let that go?
Or yeah, I let it go because everybody else was using PEDs too. Yeah.
So as long as it's to your
narrative. It was a level playing field because pretty much everybody else in baseball was using PEDs. It was a blind eye. Not everybody else in baseball were using the replay cameras to actually steal signs. Like stealing signs with the Apple Watches, that's one thing. You know, there were degrees, there were levels to this. But the Astros, based on the report that Rob Manfred had in 2020, like the Astros did it at another level.
Yeah.
It was a coordinated plot with so many people at their home ballpark involved in order to get them the information and then how they relayed it to the batters to gain an unfair competitive advantage. Nobody else was doing that in baseball.
It was next level for sure. But yeah. I have a question for both of you.
Yeah.
Does it feel less egregious if it's one person who cheated as opposed to an entire team? Because when we talk about the steroid era, you can point to one player and say, oh, well, he cheated. But then you don't want to fault the entire team for
yes.
one person's actions.
Yes.
Whereas with the Astros, this was a collective that was cheating. This was something that was premeditated, that was acted upon for a long period of time. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, Evan, about the Patriots.
Like, whether it's a system or just a one-off. It's basically the question. Like you believe when you look at the Astros or the Pats, for that matter, that it's systematic cheating.
Yes. It was systemic, yeah.
Right. Yes.
Systemic, better word. Which may be the same word. I pronounced it incorrectly. But do you look at that as, like, what about NCAA violations? Like, what about when a school has NCAA violations, you just assume as long as that same coach is there that they're always doing something wrong? I mean, do we take it to that approach?
If you've done it once, I know you're capable of it. So why would I just assume because you got a slap on the wrist, and in this case with the Houston Astros, only Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch really suffered the brunt of this. Mm-hmm. All the players.
Carlos Beltran.
Carlos, but I don't think he will carry the stigma in the same way that
those
two guys.
Oh, he did
because
he was going to be the Mets manager and that stuff came out.
Yeah, but he'll get another chance. He'll get his opportunity. Whereas these two, I don't think will.
Well, Hinch is managing currently.
Jeff Luhnow is going to be out forever is what I mean. But I just think when it is a collective group of people that do it, it carries more weight for us. We feel a little bit more indignant about it.
Right. So you're looking, no matter what happens with the Astros, you look at it as there was a system in place that started this whole thing, and who knows what happens if that system's not in place and they may not be on the verge of going to their seventh straight ALCS. I don't agree, but I understand where you're coming from on that because you can't fight it off with teams like the Astros and Patriots.
I don't want to validate any of their success. They cheated better than anybody else. There's a part of me, a very small part of me, that's jealous that my team couldn't cheat or get an unfair competitive advantage as well as the Astros did. But I, as a Yankees fan, will never be able to look at the Astros' success past or present and say, hey, I got to give props to him. I will never do that because of how the dynasty, because of how all of the success got started.
Well, easy transition then to the Pats because we got something on them. But I want to ask you on that. Like when you would play the Patriots, knowing what you would know, do you think you were playing on a fair playing field?
No. But it's okay though because I actually bested them in the game that matters the most in the Super Bowl in 2011.
Okay, so now moving on.
does that feel
like
better?
If I didn't win the Super Bowl, I would feel a way about the Patriots. But I actually won a Super Bowl against them. So it's okay, but I understand why other people in football look at them differently. Like, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, knowing that you were in a conference championship game and you got roasted the way you did and how you had turnovers and how they didn't have turnovers, and then you hear about the Deflategate and how the fumbles were down in comparison or relative to the rest of the league for the Patriots in that given season – it makes you feel a way about the success that they were able to have in them winning that championship. Again, I don't want to detract from what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were able to do because you've got to be good and have a lot of breaks. But I'm not going to sit here and say the unfair competitive advantage that they routinely sought out didn't give them an opportunity to have the excellence that we've seen over the past two decades.
So speaking of Brady and Belichick, because I'd like to ignore what CeCe just said as a Pats fan, Brady does a podcast on SiriusXM, Let's Go Podcast. And I've said it, nobody seemed to believe me, that the most supportive guy of Belichick has always been Brady publicly. Now, you could say it's kind of lip service and he just always does the right things. Well, Jim Gray and Tom Brady discussed Belichick and his status with the Pats on Let's Go, courtesy of SiriusXM.
I think the results are different from what they've been from, but I know that he's still got the same work ethic. He's got the same coaching style. And, I think the thing that I think as I watch not only the Patriots, but a lot of other things, football's a hard sport. It's very different when I was in there because I could control a lot of the outcome. When I'm sitting here watching from afar, I realize, God, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of things that need to go right in order to have team success. And I was a part of a lot of those teams. And I didn't take any of those things for granted. I needed a great defense. I needed a great kicker. Obviously, I needed a great coach. I needed great receivers and a great O-line. If I was going to be successful as a player, I needed all those things. And I was fortunate to have a lot of those things over a long period of time. The teams that lose, they're putting a lot into it. The teams that win, they're putting a lot into it. It's a relentless sport.
God, he's the best. Oh, he's the best.
You okay?
No, he's just perfect at everything. I mean, what he said is so dead on. It was defending Belichick without actually saying anything about Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Other than if you take him at his word, you got to have a great line, you got to have a great kicker, you got to have receivers, whatever. The Patriots have none of those things, mm-hmm. which ultimately falls on Belichick. But he's always been supportive of Belichick. He's never taken shots at him publicly, on the record at least.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's easy to take shots at Belichick now because of how the team is struggling. But I think Brady acknowledges that good players can't overcome bad coaching. And he knows that Belichick was instrumental in his development mm-hmm. and ascent as the greatest football player of all time. So I think there is a level of appreciation there. But we can't conflate the two things. It's not as if we can't appreciate Belichick while simultaneously acknowledging that he's not having the same impact as a head coach that we've seen him have in the past. And when you look at what the Patriots have done, I mean, they're talking about them having the worst points per game. They're dead last in points per game in the National Football League, mm-hmm. last in points per drive, last in offensive EPA. I mean, points per drive, you're talking about it being the worst since 2006. Like that's almost 20 years ago. Like that's how bad the Patriots' offense has been. Now, with Bill Belichick, the saving grace has always been the defensive side of the ball, and he's one of the best defensive game planners ever. Mm-hmm. But losing, you know, two of his top starters in Christian Gonzalez, the rookie out of Oregon, and then Matt Judon, it's only going to get worse for the Patriots. This thing gets uglier before it gets better,
yeah.
And I don't know that Bill Belichick is going to be a part of the rebuild when it gets better.
You had some of the stats there, Cece. The one that pops out to me, the Patriots have gone 24 straight drives without a point scored.
Huh.
It's the longest single-season streak by any team since the 2008 Browns.
Yeah.
The 2008 Browns.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
But if I'm Tom Brady, why would I come out and bash Bill Belichick? Why would I give any insight into maybe why this has gone wrong in New England? It's just not a good look for him. It's not beneficial for him. But I bet if you got him fireside, no cameras, no mics, maybe a little avocado tequila in his hand. He could tell you some stories.
So you think Brady is sitting there and he's smiling at the Patriots' lack of success right now?
I don't think he's
smiling.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Oh. I disagree.
You do?
I disagree, Smalls.
Because he wins the divorce.
You never want to see your ex do better. You just don't. You never want to see your ex do better with the next. That's just what it is. So the guy that Bill Belichick picked, first-round quarterback Mac Jones out of Alabama, and the way that he struggled, the way that we've seen him regress year over year, Tom Brady's sitting back and saying, yep, it's not Bill Belichick, it's not him, it's not the system, it's not all, it's me. I was the thing that stirred the drink out there in Foxborough, and now everybody is realizing it. How much better does Tom Brady look now that we've seen these last three or four years with Bill Belichick without him? I mean, the glow up is unbelievable. And the fact that Brady went down and won a Super Bowl in Tampa, that's just the icing on top of the cake. But, I mean, you got Shannon Sharp on First Take saying that you were the ultimate eraser in terms of being able to hide all of Bill Belichick's missteps. I mean, you can't script a better ending for Tom Brady in terms of his glow up post-New England Patriots.
And the fact that he goes down to Tampa and he's seemingly having so much fun. People talk about how tough it was in New England, how Belichick's system was a grind, how you weren't really having a lot of fun. He goes down to Tampa, he's having a blast. We saw a different version of him there. And I think that also lends itself to the conversation. If he's out of the equation, in 2023 in the NFL, can the Bill Belichick system work?
With the right quarterback, certainly. And Belichick, I mean, this is the thing. Like, Belichick says it, though, Smalls. Like, nobody wants to acknowledge this. When we're talking about the verses, Belichick says it's Brady. He's the one that says it all the time. He says players win games, coaches lose games. He's proven that this year pretty clearly. And so he's always picking the players. Right. So it's fine if we're going to critique him. There's a difference between, like, Cece, you've been hard on Belichick. How have I been hard on him?
I think I've just been honest on Belichick.
Well, that's okay, but the honest
it's just
truth.
Honest.
The numbers are the numbers.
Yeah, the honest truth is hard to hear.
Okay.
Okay, right?
Respectfully.
As a Patriots fan.
Right. Respectfully, Evan.
But the reality is, you're right in what you're saying. That there's a difference between that and he should be out next year. Brady has always said, I'm never the player that I was without him. We're never winning the Super Bowls without him. And Belichick has always said, he's the reason. He's the system. And yet we keep going with the verses. Now, Smalls, you brought up a great point. We go with the verses because they got divorced. They didn't end it. They got divorced. Belichick chose to move on. It was obviously the wrong decision at this point. I don't even know how anybody, including me, could argue it at all. Coming up, has the past shown us enough at the quarterback position to know what's going to come to the future? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. If you're watching on ESPN2, that's kind of like our Billions opening scene shot for our show.
Out of the way.
It's like Succession.
I've never seen an episode.
You've never seen Succession?
No.
You got problems. I don't understand.
I know I do, but
Efco, I don't get it. I don't get it, Efco.
You got problems, man.
I don't get it.
Succession is amazing.
I feel like it's a part of your job to be up on the latest shows on television. Like, Succession is amazing.
I'm not saying it's not. I just haven't seen it.
You got to check it out, though. That's what I'm saying.
We need you
to get involved.
We need
you to know.
Business,
when we make
family
these
drama.
References to Kendall Roy and we talk about the different sports figures that totally. Have a little Kendall Roy in them, yeah.
Does Mark Davis have a little Kendall Roy in him?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Yeah, he's past Kendall Roy, though.
Can you give like, a 30-second like synopsis of who Kendall Roy is?
I feel like the weird that Mark Davis is bringing into the table is on a way further down the line on the spectrum than Kendall Roy.
I just see him throwing a birthday party for himself, Kendall Roy style.
Yes, I can see that.
Can you explain what this means to those who don't speak the language here?
I'm trying to. I want to
give a 30-second synopsis of Kendall Roy from Succession.
I can't put it into words. It feels like the Matrix. You actually have to see it to know what it is. Like that's where I feel like the whole Kendall Roy experience. Maybe Smalls got it.
He's the oldest son in a very wealthy and prominent media conglomerate family.
Right.
And he is a man baby that thinks he's the smartest person in the room, but has really just been coddled and, you know, taken care of his entire life.
I don't know that Mark Davis is that.
But
everybody says good things about Mark Davis, except when he's gambling in an airport by the baggage claim.
It's more that, like, I can't really discern what's happening around me vibes.
Yes, yes.
It's not his personality is not akin to Kendall Roy, but like the fact that he wears the haircut and he's at the slots with me, the people like me, the regular folks, waiting for his baggage at the regular airport. Now, Kendall Roy would be on the PJ wearing, you know, head to toe Ferragamo.
Yes.
But it's just the lack of self-awareness, I think, is a little bit like Kendall Roy.
Okay, so quickly then, Cece, you say I have to be up on TV shows right now. It's part of my job, which I like that as a on my task list.
Yeah. No, it's not going to happen during football season.
Yeah, we don't have
we
time.
Acknowledge that. We don't have time for that during
football season.
I just say, the number one show out right now for you guys, because I'm morning show and Billions are the two for me that I'm watching the most. Is there anything, or you guys are literally, you pause TV watching until after football?
Yeah, I don't know if I've watched any. Okay. Oh, yeah. I watched the Beckham documentary over the weekend, which was
great. No, that's not a TV show. That's not what he's saying. No, he's not saying
that. It was really good.
No, that's in my assignment here. I don't think that's what the assignment
Have you watched Game of Thrones?
Never.
Ooh.
That's Have not you watched my The Sopranos? Show.
The way that Game of Thrones ended, though, I don't know that he needs to get involved.
Terrible.
Yeah,
terrible. Have you watched Sopranos?
No.
Have you not seen The Sopranos?
Now, that's terrible. I get it.
This
well, it was on when I was in college.
Attack.
I didn't have HBO in college.
It feels like a personal
attack.
I don't
understand what's happening
I've seen every episode
right
of
now.
Entourage maybe 7 times, if that counts.
But why rewatch
Breaking
the
Bad?
Episodes of Entourage when you can watch Sopranos?
Correct. It's
no,
the single
I'm
greatest television program
So here's
of all
the
time.
Thing. Sopranos at some point I will watch from start
you
to finish.
You will watch it, okay.
Game of Thrones I will never watch. I have no
you're
interest.
Not miss, the way that it ended, I'm going to say it.
So you feel like you wasted your time because
I wasted my time on Game of Thrones, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
That's how I feel about Lost. I'll never get that time back.
No, right?
It was Lost.
My wife watched Lost like crazy, and then it just, I think everybody kind of hated it. All right, so quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a new theory we now have. So it's an evolution of an old theory that I've thrown out that we've discussed, but now that CeCe has added a new layer and wrinkle to this, and this is how we want everybody to evaluate quarterbacks moving forward. It's the unsportsmanlike theory. Forget QBR or anything like that. It's the USL. That's all you need to do, unsportsmanlike. Here's what it is. I've said forever, the mark of a good football team is when the quarterback can outperform the contract. That's simple. It's one sentence. CeCe then went and looked at the last 10 years of quarterbacks that made it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
9 of the 20 quarterbacks that made it to the Super Bowl over the last, or appearances from quarterbacks, because some guys had multiple times. 9 of them were on rookie scale deals when they made it to the Super Bowl. Meaning, my point is validated and verified of outperform the contract, you're paying them so little. The evolution of it is, what we've discussed today is the concept of, if you're in year 3 of a quarterback, you have to make a decision on that fifth-year option. If at any given point your organization then says, or fan base says, you know, I'm not sure. Do we want to extend him? Do we want to give that fifth-year option? Do we want to franchise him? If for one split second you have the doubt, you probably know you don't have the guy. And it's 3 years in. Because if you look at the guys that made it to the Super Bowl, you knew immediately.
Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't mean they started immediately.
No,
but you knew immediately.
Yeah, like Russell Wilson, you knew. Okay, he went back to back Super Bowls on a rookie contract. Like you feel like you can do some winning with that guy,
oh, yeah.
Right? Exactly. Now it doesn't feel like that right now in Denver. But I digress. All I'm simply saying is this: we talked about the 9 quarterbacks in the last 10 Super Bowls that were on rookie contracts. Okay, 7 of those other quarterbacks were Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, both of them having multiple appearances. And then you've got in there Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Those would be the outliers. Good quarterbacks, not great. Guys that are making top-of-the-market money, and their team was able to thread that needle with the supporting cast around them and get to a Super Bowl. I feel like from a roster construction standpoint, that is exponentially harder than doing it the other two ways, which is having a quarterback on a rookie deal or it's having a Hall of Fame quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's the position that the Dallas Cowboys find themselves in. So when Jerry Jones talks about Dak Prescott absolutely being able to get us to the Super Bowl, I don't know how he can have that kind of conviction. Now, we also know this is a guy that believes 1 + 1 = 3, and he's got to believe that. Maybe he's selling himself that he's got to believe in Dak Prescott because he has limited options in terms of what he can do with Dak moving forward, because this is a quarterback that has a $60 million cap hit in 2024. The Cowboys can't cut him, obviously. They're either going to have to pay him again or trade him again. And the question now becomes, not only can you win a Super Bowl with Dak, but it's can you win a Super Bowl with Dak while Dak is making $55, $56, $57 million a year, which is what the market is going to dictate. I don't know how you can believe that that would be a yes, given what we've seen from Dak Prescott against good teams in the postseason.
So the financials are obviously a huge component of this, but just based on what you've seen out of him, I almost even want to, and this is not fair, but if you take this most recent San Francisco game out of the mix, because I think that compounds the problems that he's had in the postseason.
Sure.
I think you could get to a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. I really do. I think that he has been good enough in stretches that you could get to a Super Bowl with him. Now, if they play the 49ers down the road, I don't feel great about it. But I think that despite the turnovers, despite the bad decision-making at times, he's shown enough in his career that he is physically capable. He has enough of a strong skill set at the quarterback position that he could get you to a Super Bowl.
Here's the problem, though, with that. You then suggest he's an outlier, because the two ways of doing this, as we're kind of using the last 10 years as evidence, are either if you're on a rookie deal, easy to outperform your contract, or regardless of what I'm paying you, I know you can outperform it. Also known as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Also known as Tom Brady. Also known as Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I could pay you literally 100% of the cap, and I believe you could outperform that. So you need to be one of those two guys. Dak is in between. And the in-between guys, is few and far between, that if you think about who's going to go to the Super Bowl this year, right? You think San Francisco. It's going to be easy for Brock Purdy to outperform his contract. Jalen Hurts' contract extension still has not kicked in.
No,
it doesn't
kick in until, next year.
Easy to outperform.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, right? You're talking about Cincinnati in the past. Joe Burrow was on a rookie-scale deal. Detroit. Jared Goff is middle of the pack in terms of payment. What other teams you want to – Josh Allen, I don't agree with this, but a lot of people would say, regardless of what you pay him, he can outperform it. Lamar Jackson, same kind of thing. So – where is Dak? Dak is in that no man's land of the anomaly of, can he really outperform that contract if it's so high and he's not on the rookie deal? That's not the formula for success.
And then what it does to the Dallas Cowboys roster, because they still got to pay CeeDee Lamb, they still have to pay Micah Parsons, mm-hmm. and that number is only going to be higher. Think about it. He's going to get $35 million a year. So I just wonder, if you make that kind of commitment to Dak Prescott, are you going to be able to get it done with him as your starting quarterback? Now, here's the thing. I'm with you, Smalls, because there could be a scenario where Dak gets traded to a team that's a ready-made contender. They've got a lot of good pieces in place and guys that are on the cheap, that are on rookie deals, mm-hmm. and Dak can, take advantage of that. But based on where the Cowboys are right now in their program building, I don't know that they can pay Dak that kind of money, top-of-the-market quarterback money, while they have all these other players graduating to getting paid, top of the market at their respective positions. I just don't know that it can work out with Dak in Dallas.
We're probably scaring a lot of franchises, fan bases, because if this formula, the outperform as a rookie or outperform on any deal and anywhere in between, you're not going anywhere, you should be scared out there if your team fits in that middle right now. Coming up, how many quarterbacks is the clock ticking for? I think we just added to the list. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Run this town, let's go. Let's go, run this town, let's go.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN 2. ESPN app, Sirius XM, and you're great stations. I'm just, it's your boy, young CC, young Smalls.
FCO in the building.
Here's what, the evolution of our quarterback conversation today is fascinating. So here's where we're at. Because it all stems from Jerry Jones saying that Dak Prescott still can win a Super Bowl. And we're not saying he's wrong. What we're saying is, because how would we know? But what we're saying is, based on the last almost 20 years in the NFL, you either need to have a quarterback on his rookie deal or a surefire Hall of Famer, or you're not going to win a Super Bowl. The one exception to that rule, since Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer won in the early 2000s, the one exception is Matthew Stafford. But there's an argument.
And he could
end up in the Hall of Fame.
He could make the Hall of Fame based on compiling stats. But I don't think anybody had Matt Stafford as a Hall of Famer before he went to L.A.
No.
Yeah. So what we're looking at is, if you're an NFL team out there and you're looking at your quarterback, you need to ask two questions of yourself. Is he on his rookie deal? And is he going to the Hall of Fame? And if the answer is no and no, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. You have no shot. Dak Prescott right now is not a Hall of Famer and not on his rookie deal.
Well, it becomes exponentially harder, right? The two easiest paths, and it's not easy to win a championship, obviously, but the easiest path, having a Hall of Fame quarterback because he's always going to outperform his contract no matter what he's making, or you have a quarterback on a rookie deal because the assumption is he's making peanuts, he can outperform his contract. The needle that's hard to thread is the one where you got Matt Stafford or you got Jimmy Garoppolo or you got Matt Ryan as your quarterback. That's when it becomes hard, because not just what the quarterback is doing from a production standpoint, but how his pay scale impacts the rest of the roster. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part about where the Dallas Cowboys find themselves, because now that Dak Prescott has essentially won the negotiation against Jerry Jones the first time around, he's in a position to keep winning it because of the leverage that he holds over the franchise. He has a $60 million cap hit in 2024. The only way the Cowboys can get that down is by giving him a contract extension or trading him. Either way, it puts them in a bind when it comes to how they build out the team around the quarterback in future years, knowing you got to pay CeeDee Lamb and you got to pay Micah Parsons. So there's no easy answers in Dallas, but now you have to ask yourselves, what's the best path for us to get to a championship? Because as we saw against the 49ers, even with Dak Prescott as your quarterback, your team isn't close. How much more evidence do we need to see against teams that are considered contenders for the Cowboys to understand you're not close to where the 49ers and where the Philadelphia Eagles are?
It's almost the worst position for the Cowboys to be in, right? To have a tweener at the quarterback, because if you don't want to pay him that money, well, the market's going to dictate that that's what he's going to get, right?
Yes.
And he's, as you've mentioned, is not going to take a penny
less.
Nor should he. But what are you going
to
do then? This is a team that's allegedly built to win right now. Are you going to start over? Are you going to be able to find someone out there that's going to be able to come in and outperform what you've seen from Dak? It's there's no clear-cut answer for what to do in Dallas.
No, I'm looking at Evan like, I don't know. Listen, I don't know the answer, Smalls. As you're asking the question, I don't know the answer. And I was asking Dominique Foxworth and Jeff Saturday, who were in the production meeting for Get Up, and we were having this conversation. And I'm just sitting there saying to myself, if I've got to make this decision in order to, like, if I'm wearing a GM hat, now I get it, Jerry Jones the GM, but if you're in the personnel department for the Dallas Cowboys and you've got to feed your family based on the decision, do we pay Dak or do we trade Dak? I'm uncomfortable going down both pathways. Yeah. I am. But if I'm looking at the history of the Super Bowl over the last decade and a half, there is a surefire way of being able to get, well, not a surefire, but there is a way where I have a better chance of being able to get there as opposed to how I'm doing it, which is having a quarterback on a rookie deal. I'm not sitting here saying that it's a lock that the Cowboys should move off of Dak Prescott. What I am saying is, based on how the negotiation goes, this should absolutely be an option on the table, because we've seen other franchises in recent memory do it with quarterbacks on rookie deals while also having top-tier talent in other areas of their team.
So is it that? Is it that an NFL team Super Bowl window is definitively in that QB's first 3 to 4 years, or if you have a Hall of Famer, obviously, the in-between is where we don't think it necessarily is. You could be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line by calling us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. So basically what we're doing here, and I want to get to the QBs that are, their clock is ticking in a second here. If you listen to the show, first of all, thank you, and watch, we appreciate it. Second of all, if you trust our opinions, even more so, thank you, which means if you're in Cleveland, maybe, if you are in Tennessee, if you're in Seattle, if you're in New York with the Giants and other places, you're a little bit more Dallas, you're a little bit more nervous today than you were a day ago.
Yeah.
Because we have just pointed out, while you think your hopes are high here, you're actually in big trouble because you have QBs in no man's land right now. All right, so I'm going to give you a QB. You tell me right now if their clock is ticking on their time as a starter for their team. All right, so I'll throw out the QB, and you tell me if the clock is ticking. Mac Jones, New England, clock ticking, yes or no?
No.
It's expired?
I don't think it's ticking. Here's the thing. I think Mac Jones has the potential to be a starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2024. Now, he may be a bridge quarterback to whatever you're going to do, because I think they're going to do a hard reset after this season, not just with the coaching staff in the front office, but also at the quarterback position. Mac Jones can be a part of whatever the bridge is to when your next quarterback is ready to take over. So that's why I don't think the clock is ticking on him. I still think there's an opportunity or the potential for him to be a starter in 2024.
Oh, I think the clock is ticking. If we're doing like Days of Our Lives sands by the hourglass, the beads are running out. Like the kernels of sand are running. Is it kernels? Grains of sand.
Grains of sand. There you
are
go.
Running out on Mac Jones. I'm with you. If they're going to do a wholesale sweep, don't you think the quarterback's part of that?
No, I do. I do think that Mac Jones' days as a starting quarterback for the Patriots are numbered, but I could see a world where Mac Jones is the week one starter for the Patriots next year on the way to giving way to a rookie quarterback that they draft.
All right, so for the sake of time, here's where I'm going to switch it up on us. I'm going to give you the list. You tell me which one jumps out at you the most in terms of that guy's clock is ticking. So we got Mac, Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Yes.
Russell Wilson with the Broncos.
Yes.
Also
Jimmy
yes.
G with the Raiders. Kirk Cousins with Minnesota. Jordan Love in Green Bay. Justin Fields with Chicago.
The only one that I would say no on is Jimmy G, just because I think the Raiders are going to win some games this season. I know it didn't look great on Monday night, but they're going to find ways to win games because that's all Jimmy G does. He's 42-19 as a starter in this league. As long as he can stay healthy, the Raiders are going to win some games. So I don't think the clock is ticking on Jimmy G, but yes for all of the other ones. For
Smalls,
all the other quarterbacks.
You think Jordan Love?
I was going to say, Jordan Love's the one for me. This is his first full season as the guy. I think he's got plenty of runway.
Well, they hedged by not giving him a fifth-year option. They didn't want to spend that kind of money, and they did a two-year deal. It's not as if they can't get out of that after this year. So the organization told me, we're in wait-and-see mode with Jordan Love. If they had conviction on him, they would have exercised the fifth-year option. The $20 million that they would have had to pay him would be nothing, because they know that that would still be below market rate for a quarterback that they think could be a franchise guy.
Which is very interesting, because technically I don't believe he's any more on a rookie deal because they restructured the whole thing. So he's in that no man's land we're talking about. He's not a Hall of Famer and not on a rookie deal. Now, he's not paid a ton, but he's kind of in that no man's land. Anybody else jump out of you on that list, Smalls?
No, that's really the only one for me. Jordan Love. I also just can't see Green Bay saying, hey, the pick that forced Aaron Rodgers out the door, our bad. We made a mistake. I can't see them after 1 year of giving it to him, giving him that short of a leash.
You know what's interesting, though? If CeCe's right, and you can go back on the ESPN app and listen to our podcast, he said it's Aaron Rodgers is done.
It's done.
Then they didn't make the wrong decision. Yeah, they actually got out at the right time because you're playing the results in that I'm playing the results in that regard, but the results would work in their favor.
Right.
All right, coming up, what a surprise. Pat Costello, our producer, is over something. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You see our bad take jar, which Smalls has a dollar in after picking the Orioles to go to the World Series. Unfortunately for Smalls and the Orioles, disappointing but not a disappointment because of the fact that it's such a young team. They get beaten by the Texas Rangers, who have just destroyed everybody so far this postseason. Astros one win away after their win last night against Minnesota from going to the ALCS. And, of course, all of the games heard right here on ESPN Radio. All right, each and every day, our producer, Pat Costello, is upset about something. He's over something, and he tells us what with a little round of "I'm over it." What's up, Pat?
The first one is Drake. We're hearing it right now. Enough is enough. I'm over seeing all this stuff about Drake on X constantly about like him fighting with some other random rappers or whatever. Like, I'm super over it. Drake has made the same like four songs for the past like decade. Like, catch up or go away.
Catch up or go away. What's Drake? You're going to take
shots? He's
Javante,
he's
I like see on camera popping? Sitting right next to him. Javante is just laughing at Pat
he's
right
like
now.
He's like the guy version of Taylor Swift at this point. It's like,
and
all
that's
right,
supposed
enough.
To be an insult?
So you mean he's the most powerful person in his genre?
Hey, you're the girl version of Michael Jordan. Is that a bad thing?
Thank you.
Right, exactly. The guy version of Taylor Swift.
That, any day.
That is a compliment. Right,
is it?
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
I'm seeing somebody over here.
The guy version of Taylor Swift, I don't know if that's a compliment.
She infused billions of dollars into the economy.
I understand it being an industry, and that's one thing. Yeah. But it's just like in terms of the art form and the persona, I don't know that that's necessarily a compliment for where Drake is at with it.
So where are you at with Drake?
I kind of lean toward Pat. I enjoy the music. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the music. I'm not going to go all Joe Budden right here and try to criticize what Drake did for All the Dogs. I think it's a solid album, but it reminds me of pretty much every other album that we've heard from Drake since early Drake. Like, I think the last one that really went hard, I would say, is he Take Care of Views, but I mean, they're all pretty much the same.
But if
Take
it ain't broke, so don't fix
take care,
it.
Take Care is outstanding.
But I don't understand.
Best Drake album, question.
If it's working, why would he do something different? Like, a band that I absolutely love, it's my favorite band, The Killers, right? They're unbelievable in my mind. I think they're phenomenal. They did an album recently that didn't sound like anything else they did. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not for me as a fan of theirs as much as their other stuff.
Yeah, but I can't. I mean, how much do you really need to hear the artist being emo on the track all the time? Like, it's just the evolution of what Drake is talking about in the songs. That's the part that it's just like, all right, dog, we get it. Like, it's really hard for you out here in these Toronto streets. So, it's really hard for you to find love in the six. Okay, dog, we get it.
So like, it's like 14 versions of Marvin's Room?
Exactly. Like, bro, we
you know, I've always
wondered
that.
You've been talking
about
the same thing for a decade, dog.
I've always wondered that about
You ain't got a matchmaker? We can't get your own Tinder somewhere? Like, come on, dog.
You think Drake needs Tinder?
No, I don't know. Apparently, he can't find the right one, and he keep talking about it.
But maybe he's the problem.
Maybe he is the problem.
Wait, but CeCe, you have interacted.
But based on what he's saying in the songs, it don't make it sound like he knows he's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, he admits it sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
He admits it.
Yeah. CeCe, you have dealt with, in your life, millions of millionaires.
Yeah.
Many of them had nothing growing up. But I wonder, when does it change? Because what you're saying this about Drake. Drake has spent more years in his life being a millionaire than not having anything.
Yes.
So does it fall on deaf ears when you're like, hey, I grew up in this area and I didn't have anything? And you're like, I don't understand. You've been a millionaire for 70 years. Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Jay-Z. Switch?
Yeah, Jay-Z has had more of his life has had everything than nothing.
Okay.
Are you still always allowed to talk about the nothing, or do we get it? Like, hey, you had nothing, but you kind of have had everything.
No,
for
you
a
can
while.
Always talk
you
about
can
the
always
nothing.
Talk about the
you
nothing.
You can always talk about the nothing. The
Got
person
it.
That can't talk is the guy that was born on third base, but unfortunately, a lot of those guys think they hit a triple when they're born on third base, like the Mark Davises of the world. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that really can't talk a whole lot.
Right.
Like Jim Irsay, pipe down, relax. Yeah.
Totally.
Next one, Pat.
When you go to someone's house because they're throwing a party or something and the food is just absolute garbage, like just cater. Get like a meatball tray, a lasagna or something. Don't give me like 10 different sides that 5 different people are bringing that I have to piece together some awful meal. Like, can we figure it out, please?
Wait,
yeah, Pat
like
Costello is on to something right there. Like, if you're hosting and you're not an amazing, phenomenal cook, go ahead and subcontract. Get a caterer, dog. Like, I get it. Everybody ain't balling. Everybody ain't rich. But there is a restaurant that serves up the hits that everybody likes somewhere in your area. Go ahead and have them come through with the foil pan trays and those little things that light the fire underneath
the
to keep
things,
it warm.
Yeah,
you know, nobody knows the name of those little things. But you know what I'm talking about.
Tweet at on Sports ESPN. What are the names of those lighter things?
Yeah, go ahead and bring those through.
They look
and
like tea lights.
Or just order pizza.
And let them people take
let
care of
Let everybody be happy.
But that's my point,
let
though.
Let everybody
it's
be
happy. It's so simple. Like, don't try to skimp on the food Don't have the disillusion that you're a good cook when you're really not.
So,
if you're inviting people over, make sure the food is on point. There is no excuse for it. And like Pat says, there is no forgiveness if it's not.
But Pat, are you saying you don't like a potluck scenario where someone is hosting and everybody brings a dish?
That sounds horrible to me, Smalls.
Yeah, those are never
good.
Because that doesn't mean that everybody's a good cook.
Yeah.
That means you have an ability to bring something. Like my wife is a great cook. But a lot of times I will say, let's just order food. I don't want, like, you work for a living. You're a mother of 2 kids. Like, don't worry about this. Let's just go get food elsewhere. And she's great at it. But that doesn't
mean. I'll never say that about my wife. Hell no. But if she's going to sell her mind to cooking, let me tell you who ain't going to talk her out of it. Me.
Because she's that good.
She's that good. I'll say it again. I married the best cook I know. Sorry about that, mama and big mama. But I married the best cook I know. Ain't no way I'm talking my wife out of cooking me a home-cooked meal. You must be out your damn mind, Evco.
You must not have kids. You must not know what it's like to take care of a 10 and a 7-year-old.
That's right. I don't. No kids. You're right. You're right.
But again, the overall point is, you're not Bobby Flay. You're not Giada. You're not a barefoot contestant. You're the regular person hosting a party.
Yes.
Outsourced to a chef. Next one, Pat.
Yankees fans still crying about the Astros cheating scandal from
six years ago. That hasn't happened on this show at all today.
Your team
really
stinks.
Really,
Get
Pat?
Over it. You've got really? Bigger problems than what happened in 2017. Move on.
Well, 2019 too, Pat. Let's not forget about the ALCS in 2019 too, right? What happened with Chapman. I mean, Pat, why do you want me to be over it, though? Those were my last best chances of being able to get back to a World Series and hopefully win another title. We've been searching for 28 for a real long time. Like, it's been over a decade since this franchise has been in the World Series. Why do you take this from me? As a Yankees fan, I have so little. They're bringing back Brian Cashman. They're bringing back Aaron Boone. As Yankees fans, we know nothing is going to change. This team got old, slow, unathletic overnight. It's not going to change. So the only thing that I have to hold on to is my hate for the Houston Astros.
Wah.
That's it, Pat. I don't have a lot. Why do you want to take what little I have away from me as a baseball fan?
Because I'm over it.
You know what I've realized is the sneaky best part for those on the TV side?
I can't wait till the Braves lambaste the damn Phillies in Citizens happening. Bank Park. But I can't wait for it.
At least
when is first pitch today? When is first pitch? When is that?
All of it on ESPN Radio. Wait. The sneaky best part of I'm over it is watching on the TV side Javonte's face just laughing at Pat. Constantly just looking at Pat like something.
You need
wrong
to stop laughing for free, Javonte. You got hopes for your Lions this year. You better stop laughing for free.
Unsportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.